thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So folks, this morning I want to welcome you to our new sermon series. It's our December sermon series, Follow the Star, that we will be running right throughout the whole month. JT will be preaching tonight, and it'll be our youth night this evening. The youth will be taking part. And so my message this morning is a lonely sheep and a lovely, loving shepherd. And so we will be focusing on events and people and things that help lead us to Jesus. It was the star, wasn't it? It was the star that first led people to Jesus. And so that's the theme that we will be running this morning. At this point, I would like to invite Paul Richmond to come. He's going to read from Luke's Gospel. And then shortly, we're going to be inviting Catherine up as well. Thank you, Paul.
So we're just going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in the swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
Thank you so much, Paul. Sheep are mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, more than any other animal. Whereas shepherds are mentioned, over 60 times more than any other profession. Fishermen come a second close, with 4 out of the 12 disciples, as you would know, having been employed in the fishing industry, and carpenters and potters also would have been popular trades as well. The shepherd was the first profession mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 4 and verse 2. And it's the shepherds who were among the first people group to see the newborn Savior, as Paul was reading to us this morning. They were the privileged first visitors to see Israel's new Messiah. And yet they were ritually unclean people. They were unclean shepherds because of their work with sheep and their dung. And they were considered ritually unclean, incapable of visiting the temple in Jerusalem to make the appointed sacrifices. And yet it was to this people group that the angels appeared and invited them to go and visit the newborn baby. If you still have your Bibles opened, or if it's handy for you, in verse 8 we read again, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be a cause of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord." And so these shepherds were looked down upon by most people in the society of their day. They weren't appreciated, they weren't respected, and quite often they weren't liked either. And yet, they lead us to Jesus. In verse 15, if you pick it up again, you'll see that it says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them." And so in Scripture, the shepherds lead us to Jesus, the ultimate good shepherd. I had come across this little story a short while ago about Fiona, Britain's loneliest sheep. You've heard of Shrek, the sheep. I think I've preached on it a time or two, which was the Australian sheep that had gone missing for 6 years, a male sheep. So they've named this little sheep Fiona. Fiona was a very lonely sheep because she got lost for 2 years. The story was reported by the BBC. This ewe that was hailed Britain's loneliest sheep had been rescued by a group of farmers from a remote shingle beach in the Scottish Highlands. The sheep, called Fiona, wearing a huge fleece, had been stranded at the foot of the cliffs at the Cromarty Firth. I don't know, Geoffrey, if that's the right way I pronounced that, but I'm sure you'll tell me afterwards if I haven't. And so this sheep for at least 2 years was in this predicament. And then five farmers managed to haul her up this steep slope. It's a beautiful, true, heartwarming story of how a lonely and a lost sheep was rescued and brought back into the fold. Now, let's see what the Bible has to say about our loving shepherd. I want to invite Catherine up, and she's going to read from John chapter 10. Thank you, Catherine.
"I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, they will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. 'I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. He isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he is working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep."
Thank you so much, Catherine, for reading that to us this morning. Verse 10, if you have your Bibles handy. I have two mics for some reason. think I should put one down, shouldn't I? Ah, dear, dear, dear. Okay, you don't want to hear me twice, sure you don't. Verse 10 says, the thief only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I have come that they might have life and might have it to the full. The NLT says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, and my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. It's a verse that's very, very well known to us all, I'm sure, and we hear those three key words, steal and kill and to destroy. In the eyes of the law, that's theft, that's murder, and that is arson. Firstly, the thief comes to steal. Now, I don't know how grand or expensive your loo is, but I doubt it's on the same level as this one that is in Blenheim Castle, or at least was in Blenheim Castle, valued at £4.8 million, this gold toilet. Mind you, I think they could have done a better job with the toilet roll holder, to be honest. I think somebody slipped up there. According to the Guardian newspaper, four men have been charged over the theft of a gold toilet valued at £4.8 million, which vanished from Blenheim Castle in an overnight raid in September 2019. True story again. The art installation, entitled America, was part of an exhibition being held at the palace. The toilet, which could be used with a 3-minute time limit to avoid queues, had only been on show for 2 days when it had been stolen. Reports say that after the robbery, the thieves were flush with money. Okay, okay. So secondly, the thief comes to kill. Sin is the cause behind so many innocent people losing their lives in our world today. And again, these are stories that have picked up recently just from our news. This is a really, really tragic story. And this happened just, I think, over a week ago. I think it was yesterday, a week ago. And this happened in Thailand. A Thai para-athlete and a former soldier shot his bride and three others before killing himself on his wedding day. Police say that he left the wedding party abruptly and returned with a gun, shooting his wife, her 62-year-old mother and 38-year-old sister. Some stray bullets hit two guests who were taken to hospital, and one of them died. How tragic and how sad that is. Of course, you know, from our family point of view, it's only about 5 weeks ago from we were at a beautiful wedding where our youngest daughter got married, and it's just the mind cannot take in that situation. But this guy was a thief who stole the life of four innocent people as well as himself. Murder is one of the greatest tools of the enemy of our souls. And thirdly, the thief comes to destroy. He comes to destroy everything in his way, and that includes you and me. And so our own little island is famous for many things. And of course, in 1845, it was the beginning of the Irish potato famine, the Great Famine, also known as the Great Hunger or simply the famine. Outside of Ireland, it was known as the Irish potato famine. It was a period of starvation and disease in Ireland lasting from 1845 to 1852. And the most severely affected areas were in the western and in the southern parts of Ireland. The worst year, apparently, for the famine was in 1847, which became known as Black 47. The numbers are just horrendous. During the Great Hunger, roughly 1 million people died, and more than 1 million people fled the country, causing the country's population to fall by approximately a quarter, about 25%. And in some towns, populations fell as much as 67%, two-thirds of the inhabitants of certain towns. Eventually, after many years, there was 2.1 million people who left Ireland, primarily on packet ships, but also on steamboats. And it was one of the greatest exoduses from a single island in history. Of course, the main cause, as you might be aware, was blight, a plant disease such as mildew, a thing which spoils or damages something. Blight was a thief that destroyed the potato crop, taking the lives of so many innocent people. So church family this morning, why am I telling you all these things? Why these examples? Because we need to be very wary of the thief. We need to be very alert. We need to keep a close eye on him, lest he tries to steal something from you and something from me. Because the thief is out there to steal something from our family, from our marriage, and from our relationships. That great verse that Catherine read for us, John 10 and verse 10, it's one of the loveliest verses in Scripture. And part B says that I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, or I have come that they might have life to the brim, overflowing, hugely satisfying life. So what does the biggest thief in the world steal from us, kill in our lives, and destroy from us? I think it's good to take a wee moment and to look into this. Well, he tries to steal our joy. He tries to rob us of our peace. He tries to kill our hope. He tries to kill our dreams. He tries to destroy our walk with God. And he tries to destroy our relationships. I'll just repeat that. The thief, the enemy of our souls, our great adversary, tries to steal our joy and tries to rob us of our peace. So if you're losing your joy and you've lost your peace this morning, you know who to blame. He tries to kill our hope. He tries to kill our dreams. Have you got hopes and dreams that are shattered? Have you got hopes and dreams that at the moment you just don't know how they're going to be fulfilled? Could be that part of that is that God is teaching you patience. Yes, we all know that God works in his own sovereign way, doesn't he? But if your hopes and your dreams have been stolen from you, if you've been robbed of them, then the enemy is at work. And of course, we know that if our walk with God is not right, then the enemy of our soul is out to destroy our relationship with the Lord and also our relationship with one another. And so the devil is the world's biggest thief, and he is at work daily in and around our lives, trying to thwart us from walking a correct walk with the Lord. And so if you've lost your walk with God, if your relationship with others isn't good, then the world's biggest robber is to blame. So if we could only see him for what he really is, that he is a dirty, rotten liar, that he is a horrible, conniving thief, and that he is a despicable scoundrel of the highest degree. And if we could only see that he is the one behind all sorts of evil that's being perpetrated today across the world. And yet to balance this out and to look at the flip side of it, we need to look at the Good Shepherd, and we need to understand the nature and the love and the heart of the Good Shepherd, the loving shepherd of our souls. And he comes to every lonely and every lost sheep. And that's you and that's me. So that we would have a fantastic life, an incredible life, an abundant life, a life full of hope, a life full of joy, a life full of peace, and a life full of satisfaction. So folks, when we dig into it a wee bit, what is the opposite of stealing? The opposite of stealing is to release, to restore, or to give back. And what's the opposite of killing? The opposite of killing is to save. It is to restore. It is to renew. It is to breathe life into. And what's the opposite of destroying. It is to build. It is to reconstruct. It is to mend. It is to restore. And I don't know if you picked up that common denominator, that common word that is the descriptive word for all three of these things, whether that is theft or killing or destroying. The common denominator, the common term that is used in all three is the word restore. You see, our God is a restorative God. He always believes in and he longs to see restoration in the lives of sons, the sons of men. He wants to restore us. He wants to restore our souls. And so to restore is to bring something back or to reestablish a previous situation. It means to return something or someone to their former condition, to their former place, to their former position. To restore means to repair, to renovate a building or a work of art or something like that so as to return it to its original condition. And so the work of the devil is to destroy, and the work of the Lord is to restore. And so we need to understand that anything that is being destroyed in our lives or our relationship comes from the evil one. And the work of the good shepherd is to restore our own hearts and to restore our relationships. The good and the loving shepherd has come to restore our hearts. He has come to re-establish our relationship with God our Father. First and foremost, that is why Jesus came. That is why he is known as the Good Shepherd, because he has brought us back into the fold. He has helped to reestablish our relationship that was broken with God our Father. And he has also come to repair and to restore our relationships with one another. He has come to mend, and he has come to renew us back to our original condition. And he has come to return us to our original position, back into fellowship with our Creator God. He has come to give us better lives. He has come to give us better relationships on all levels. He has come to restore relationships on the vertical and on the horizontal as well, so that our relationships are restored to the best that they can possibly be. Restored back to our original condition, back to our original position when mankind was first made. Love that verse in the New Testament that talks about us being new creations in Christ. And what does that mean? If you're a new creation, well, you're made brand new. You are brand new. You're like a newborn baby, like that wee baby Emma down in Victoria's arms at the moment, being as good as gold, restoring us, making us brand new. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Yesterday was a very sad day, as I've already said to you, for the McFeely family. Very sad for us as a church family as well to lose such a lovely man like Lawrence McFeely all of a sudden. A man who knew and loved his Lord for over 50 years, who loved his church fellowship here and his church family for over 50 years. A very sad day. But folks, it was a glorious day for Lawrence McFeely. At 3 o'clock on Thursday morning, that's when he got his home calling, and that's when he was brought into the presence of his Saviour. You see, for Lawrence, his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, heaven knew his name. Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists of the modern era, said this: what is the use of being famous on earth when heaven doesn't know your name? Folks, it doesn't matter how famous or otherwise you might be here on this planet if you don't know the good shepherd of your soul who rules over the whole universe. If everyone in Ballymoney knows you and knows your name, but you're not known personally to God, then you really are a very sad and a very poor and a very lonely and a very lost sheep. For that's indeed what the Bible calls us. It calls us sheep, that we wander about and we stray. And we do our own things at times. We walk away from the Master, aimlessly wandering about with no hope and no peace and no future and no contentment. It's so sad that those who depart this scene of time, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, are consigned to a lost and a lonely eternity without their Maker and without their God. And so, folks, it's so important this morning that our names are written in the beautiful book, the beautiful Lamb's beautiful book of life. And if that's you this morning, if you're listening this morning, perhaps you are with us physically here in the building, perhaps you're listening to our podcast, perhaps at a later stage, and you as yet do not know the Lord as your personal Saviour, well then I urge you this morning to put your life right with God. I urge you, and as I said yesterday to the very big crowd who had come here to pay their respects to Lawrence yesterday, I said, I beg you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know the same Saviour as Lawrence McFeely did, well then, you need to place your hope and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to that loving shepherd, that great shepherd, that good shepherd of your soul. You need to enroll your name in heaven, and he will restore you. He will save you, and he will give you a life truly worth living. And if your name is written in that glorious book, which I know that most of our names are this morning, if our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, then we need to live our best life. We need to live our very best life for our Saviour. Don't mess about and don't mess up your life. Live your life to the full for the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said to you at the start, our sermon series for the month of December is about following the star. It's about looking to people, to events, to things that help lead us to Jesus. Are we going to do that during the month of December? Are we going to do our utmost as the children of Almighty God? Are we going to do our utmost to help lead other people to Jesus? Are we going to be stars? Are we going to be perhaps the only Bible that people might read? It's our duty and it's our responsibility, and it's highlighted at this lovely Christmas time. Why don't you invite somebody to the carol service on the 17th? There are people who will come to church perhaps for a carol service, or maybe on Easter Sunday, who maybe will never darken the door of a church. But maybe they're waiting for you to invite them. Maybe somebody in your family who you've been praying for, invite them out to the carol service. Somebody who you work with. Somebody who maybe gives you a hard time in your work, maybe in your school or college or uni or wherever you are, live your life for the Lord. Shine brightly as a star. May your life and your witness, like Lawrence McFeely, shine and be a testimony and be a beacon and a light to help lead others to Jesus. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Folks, let's live our best life for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to take a moment or two at this point in our service, and we want to lift once again, Lord, the McFeely family to you. Lord, we pray for Helen. We pray for Arnie, Aunt Nicola. We pray for Joanne and Gavin. We pray for Morgan and Matthew. And we pray, Lord, for the family circle, Lord, that you would comfort them even this morning. Lord, that you would draw close to them. Lord, that you would continue to extend your grace that we were singing about this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that Lawrence was a star that helped lead people to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for his witness and his testimony. And Lord, we thank you for his legacy that he has left behind. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would pick up the baton. Lord, I pray that we would continue that work that Lawrence McFeely worked so tirelessly hard at for over 50 years. Lord, we thank you that he fought not just a good fight, but we thank you that he fought the good fight. We thank you, Lord, that he finished the race. We thank you, Lord, that he kept the faith. Lord, we thank you that he was a faithful man to you. He was a faithful man to his family. He was a faithful man to this church. And Lord, I thank you for that example and that witness, Lord, to each and every one of us, Lord, that you'd spur us on, Lord, to be faithful to you in our everyday lives, whether that be at home, whether that be in our work or college, Lord, whether that be in our relaxing time and our time of sport or fun or hobbies, Lord, wherever we are, whatever we do, Lord, I pray that you would help every one of us, Lord, to live our best lives for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be aware of the thief who comes with one purpose in mind, to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of our hearts this morning, Lord, would be aligned with you. Lord, that you would, Lord, renew our hearts, that you would renew and restore our relationships. Lord, if there's any relationship that needs restored with you, that that would be done, that we would glorify you, Lord, in our relationships with one another. Lord, I pray that if we've lost our peace, if our joy has been stolen away, Lord, I pray that we would see it for what it is. And I pray, Lord, that you would restore our joy, that you would restore our peace. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to live the very best life that we can for you, our Savior and our Lord, the Good Shepherd of our souls. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to thank you, Lord, that you know each and every one of our names. And Lord, as Mervyn prayed this morning, our attendance here this morning is one time more and it's one time less. And Lord, I pray that we would live lives that are full and meaningful and rich, lives that are a great witness for you. Lord, that we would help to be stars in this very dark and this very dreary world, that we would be stars that would light up people's lives, that we would help to lead people to Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. And we pray as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would just bless our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.